All right, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome. It's the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting. It's Pi Day, March 14th, 2022. And 7 o'clock, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Garcia?
Yes.
Millen? Okay. Reifstech?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Here.
Schimp?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Chacon?
Here.
Crawford?
Here.
And Forrestal?
Here.
Okay. And let's see, we have Shelley, our library director, here. We have Daniel Chacon. We have Cheryl Wonsky from staff and Judy Summerlove from Friends. And Rob Fredrickson from Citizens. okay, are there any amendments to the agenda?
I'll do that.
Nope. Okay. Any presentations? I don't think we have any. Okay, if everybody could take a look at the minutes and review and make a recommendation to adopt, that would be great.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we have any correspondence?
Yeah, just one. Came from the office of Sue Resin, Illinois State Senator of the 38th District. She said, "Dear Yorkville Public Library, thank you so much for participating in the in my Valentine's for Seniors Care Drive. I'm pleased to announce that our community generously donated an unexpectedly large number of Valentine cards this year. In total, our office delivered about 5,000 Valentine's cards to seniors. Our goal of letting senior citizens know that people care about them was accomplished through your heartfelt cards. In this letter, we've included photos of Valentine's being delivered to facilities so you can see your wonderful work in action. I cannot begin to thank you enough for your kind response to this program. It truly is amazing to see just what our community can do when we work together to uplift those who need some extra cheer. Thank you again for participating in our Valentine for Senior Card Drive. We appreciate all you do for our community, and your kindness and generosity will not soon be forgotten." So, our team group created cards for the seniors that I think we dropped off. 40
or 50
cards at her office, so
they're
just part of
a
little part of the process.
Nice. Okay. Is there any public comment? Okay. We have the Friends of the Library report.
We had 19 people this morning at our Friends meeting, and you're always welcome to come, even if you're not a member of the Friends. We will welcome you. I want to remind everyone that mini golf the mini golf fundraiser is coming up. It is on Sunday, April the 3rd. Please come and bring your families. Please come and volunteer if you can. We have a lot of raffle items. They're in the lobby, and that's going well. But we really need people to volunteer. We're short volunteers, and we need you to come. The mayor will be making a proclamation at the city council meeting on March the 22nd and proclaiming that's mini golf, Yorkville Mini Golf Day or something. I don't know what he's going to say. All right. We spent a lot of money, so we have to raise a lot of money from the mini golf because we gave away a lot of money today. We gave $922 for children's award books, $1,200 for the purchase of children's nonfiction books, $50 for prizes for the children's department is having a poetry competition during National Poetry Month, which is in April, and they needed money for prizes. $100 for costs associated with the 19th hole for the mini golf. And we'd already approved this money, but $650 for a Library Aware, which is the electronic, the e-newsletter that you get. And I hope that many of you took part in the Winter Reading Challenge, and it was that if we had logged in 50,000 minutes of reading, that the Friends would donate $100 to the Kendall Food Pantry. We did 175% of that challenge. Instead of 50,000 minutes, there were 87,496 minutes read. And there were two people who each anonymously gave $100 for that, towards that, and there's always a container out in the lobby for donations for the food pantry. So we were able to give the food pantry $400 as part of the winter reading challenge. One of the things the Friends have been talking about, and we're not sure how we're going to do this yet, the Friends would like to do something to recognize or give information about who Michelle Pfister is. We have this Michelle Pfister meeting room, but a lot of people weren't here when she was the director, and they don't know, you know, why is this named after Michelle Pfister? So we've been talking about different things to do that would somehow give information, whether it's a plaque or what it is, I don't know yet, but something to recognize and acknowledge who she is and why this group is named after her. And during National Library Week, Shelley is going to have a display of all of the American Girl dolls she donated. I don't remember how many there were.
There's 25 to 30.
20 American Girl dolls, and then that will be kind of an introduction also to who Michelle is, and we'll be following up with something about that. And the Friends will, during National Library Week, on Tuesday, April the 5th, the Friends will provide a boxed lunch for each staff member on Tuesday, because that's National Library Workers Day. And then Shelley set the spring cleanup date, April the 23rd, and we will be taking part in that. We hope you all will come to bring your rakes and your gloves and help clean things up in the library. So we had a busy meeting, and please come to the fundraiser. Please come. It's fun. That's why we don't call it a fundraiser, we call it a fundraiser. So. That's all. Thank you.
Is there a place to sign up to volunteer, or you just want us to show up?
I can give you Tiffany's contact information.
Okay, I can probably find it. I can do a little
bit. Yeah, okay. Tiffany Forrestal. She's okay. Kind of related to that guy over there.
Yeah, I think she needs some volunteers.
She needs, but we desperately need volunteers. If you would like to copy her, here's her email and her phone number.
Yeah.
It's a Saturday. We want you to come. Although it is 8 o'clock in the morning. Have to get up. Thank you.
So for spring cleanup, I wonder if we'll have 38 bags again.
Oh, I thought, what did she say, 50? She said 40. 40?
38.
40, yeah. We had a lot of.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Can we have the report of the treasurer?
Staff comment?
I'm sorry. Any staff comment?
Nope.
Okay. Mostly pretty normal this month. On page 13 of your packet, Shelley's credit card, there's the monthly MetroNet for January, and then some various supplies. And then on page 16, there's to EBSCO Industries for $1,290 for the website, marketing, and the e-newsletter. Half of that is paid for by the Friends. Then on page 17, Rails, that's our programming co-op. So we had voted on that a few months ago. And the Friends are paying for that too. The TCG Solutions is the monthly phone system bill. And then Umbrella Technologies, the $480 is our quarterly bill for the key fob access. And then if you look, there were two payrolls, then we are at 83% of the fiscal year. And mostly everything is looking good, especially for the things that we can control. Utilities are at 141%, which is pretty brutal, but I'm sure you're all feeling it in your homes as well. So everything looks on track and normal. The computer equipment and software is at 325%, but that will be reimbursed by that grant. So otherwise, everything is.
Make a motion that we pay our bills of accounts payable for $17,440.24, and then for payroll of a total of $40,243.89 for a total disbursement of $57,675.13.
Second.
Reichstack?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimpf?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
All right. Can we have the report of the library director, please?
Okay. Let's see here. So Judy filled us in on our winter reading program. The Kendall County Food Pantry was here, so we did a little photo op for that. So they shared that. Friends shared it, and we shared it on the Facebook page, so you can see that. We celebrated Engineering Week in February here at the library, so Ms. Jeanette had several programs for the kids. We did paper airplane challenges, rocket bash, Help Harry challenge, Spiro maze, a straw bridge building competition. She did makey-makey. Never heard of what that was, but it's quite interesting. Roller coaster track, and her escape adventure for the month was It's a Code Code World. Our chair yoga is going strong. We're doing that once a week now, and the attendance is full every month. And Genevieve has put out a donation jar, and that has actually almost raised the funds to cover the cost of the instructor. So the Friends have paid for that as well, for the cost of the instructor. So it's working out well, and it's very, very well received. Then we've had a couple really successful programs. The beginning of March, she had a Civil War quilt program. We had over 45 people attend that one. Very interesting. And she did a little program evaluation to kind of find out where people are getting their information from. And it is all over the place. So local newspaper, posters in the library, Facebook, WSBY, our newsletter, an email she sends out, and her website. So she's putting it in all these places, so people are finding their own particular way of getting their information. So we'll continue to keep putting in all those places. As Judy said, also National Library Week starts April 3rd, so we're kicking that off with our mini golf celebration, and it runs through April 9th. I'll have a letter to the editor in the paper, as I do every year for that. We are also partnering with 12 area libraries to participate in a library crawl. I know I've told you guys about this one before. We will have a library trip passport that we'll pass out at our front desk and encourage our patrons to go and visit other libraries just to see what they have to offer as well. And every library that they visit, they'll get their passport stamped. And then if they visit all of the libraries, their passport will go into a drawing, and every library is putting together their own drawing basket to kind of emphasize your community. So Tiffany's putting together a basket for us, getting donations from local organizations. I believe she's got several in play right now. She'll have the basket ready for me by the end of the month. The basket's not to exceed $250, so it's going to be a pretty big basket. I mean, each library will have this as well. I'm going to be working tomorrow with our managers. We're going to have a manager's meeting to talk about coordinating each manager to take a few employees on a field trip for the day to visit these libraries. And we're going to treat it as an employee training day, so they can see what other libraries, what they offer, and then come back and discuss, and maybe they can incorporate some of those ideas here at the library, too. Let's see. We had, I reached out to Lena Doom at the YIHS. She's the Vocational Education Program Coordinator. This is an LSP class program, and she has 2 to 3 students that were looking to come to the library with their job coach to perform small tasks here at the library. So we now have these students coming on a regular basis, twice a week, and helping out Jeanette in our children's area. I've also reached out to Melissa Wojowski. I'm hoping I'm saying that right.
Just call her Wojo.
Wojo?
Yeah.
Okay. She's the Field Experience Program Coordinator at YHS, and Rosie gave me the idea to reach out to her. So she does, I said, the Field Experience Program, so she is putting together interns. And she asked what we were specifically looking for help with, and I said social media marketing, content, and that. And so she's putting together her current roster for next school year, and if she has a match, she would let us know. So,
great.
I spoke with Steve at the city. He's the facilities manager. And about our outside lights are still on. They've been on since January 25th. They won't turn off, so they are aware of it. And he had said he would be sending someone over to look at them. Ted says that is beyond his capability. So I'm hoping they send Dirk over soon. Let's see here. I contacted our attorney about a letter we received from the Kemp County State's Attorney's Office where they are looking for us to designate an auditing official. This is part of the Safety Act. This has to do with the Police Reform Act, so each entity has to assign a safety official or an auditing official. So I reached out to the city, and I believe Aaron said that we should contact our attorney. And our attorney said that we can assign the state's attorney's office to be our auditing official. We don't need to do one. So as a courtesy, he told me to send them a letter. So I sent them a letter, and I got a phone call from the state's attorney's office. Basically, she had me have our attorney contact her. So he did, and I believe I will be the designated attorney. and I can, if it's something that I can't handle, then they would take over. But in essence, if they become the auditing official and an investigation happens and it goes to court, then they can't represent. We would have to hire an outside firm to represent. This is all in regards to like the Whistleblower Act and that. So our attorney is also going to be sending me policy and procedure that will have to be in place for this, so to be continued. Ted was here on March 2nd to show Olson Roofing up to our rooftop about solar panel discussion. I don't know anything else more about that. But while they were up there, Olson Roofing noticed a small hole in our roof. And Ted contacted Steve, who told them to go ahead and repair it while they were here. It was a really super quick, easy fix. But Olson Roofing did say that our roof was still in good condition for being an original roof. So I just wanted to pass that on to you guys. I received a letter that our backflow assemblies need to be inspected yearly. And last year, we were part of the city's inspection, so I reached out to Steve, and he said he's working on that for us for this year. Okay.
Can we double back to the roof?
Yes.
There was an RFP with the city asking about solar panels. I don't know if you know anything about, has that moved forward?
I haven't heard anything. I've heard about it from time to time, but I'm not exactly sure what the status is on that. But I could mention it at the bar tomorrow and see if you can give us any more information. Sure.
Okay.
I have not heard back about you guys have received information about filing your statement of economic interest. There's been a lot of talk on the director's listserv that nobody has gotten any guidance from the Secretary of State's office yet. So I forwarded you the memo that we received from our attorneys that they were awaiting guidance also. So as soon as I hear something, this doesn't have to be filed until May 1st.
If you haven't looked at that form, it's totally different than what we've done in the past.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of weird questions on it.
That is my report.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So for standing committees, we did have the physical facilities committee meeting. Brian, you want to give us like a little just summary?
Oh, I was not prepared.
sorry.
No, I think we had a really good meeting. We just kind of went kind of top to bottom through some things.
This time? Or that was the last one?
That was the last one.
Yeah, but we didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think we talked about it.
No, right before the last meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Yeah. I know the minutes are in here, but I think the one problem we haven't solved is the lights being on, so it was mentioned already. So, I know. I think this kind of talking through that like 3 to 5 year plan, simplifying the process, I think is important, which I think we've made some good progress.
And the list that Shelley sort of had that we went through, at least gave us something.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Unfinished business. Review and proposed FY23 budget.
Okay, well, turn page 35. Okay.
Page 35.
So the orange highlights are items that we've talked about probably 2 months ago. You gave you some direction to change. And then also the green was updated more recently based on the direction given to me by Shelley from you from your last board meeting. So just real quick, under the property taxes for library operations, you can see from FY24 through 27, that was increased by 5% for FY24 because inflation's so high. The CPI for property taxes is actually 5%. So that's two more percentage points you got added on your FY24 amount. And then I just kept it at 3% going forward from there. If you look at the federal grants under the FY22 projected, I did add about $7,600. You did get some ARPA monies, which I believe offset some of the computer and equipment. What's that?
There'll be more to come.
Oh, well, great. Going down to the expenditure side, you can see the shade of green in the lower right quadrant here. Per your instructions, I did remove the full-time marketing coordinator position. I did make that position part-time. As far as the part-time goes, I did go with the blue tab that you might have reviewed from last time, where certain employees are up to $15 an hour. Everybody's getting a 3% COLA. And I did incorporate that marketing person at, I think, 29 hours a week as a part-time person. Mm-hmm. So that's just, updating salary and wages, and then also because we're making that person who was full-time now part-time, your salary or your benefits decreased as well. And then the administrative chargeback, that is Ted's hours.
Okay.
I think it's like 200 hours per annum. So that will be charged back to the city to help fund a small portion of his salary and benefits. And then just from our previous conversations, I increased telecom from $7,200 to $8,000. Looking on page 36, automation was increased by $1,000 from $20,000 to $21,000. And then as Susan kind of touched upon when she was talking about the bill list, obviously utilities are much higher than we anticipated. So we're projecting $22,000 for this year and then a 6% increase thereafter for FY27. And then computer equipment and software, I believe it's tracking about $3,000 this year, so you decided to bump it up to $3,000 for FY23 through 27. So at the bottom of the page, taking everything in aggregate, right now for FY23, you have a deficit of $16,937 budgeted. Honestly, that doesn't concern me too terribly much. You had about the exact same deficit budgeted for FY22, and it looks like you're going to have almost a $40,000 surplus. So actually, going forward, as you look kind of down that row and to the right, going into 24 and beyond, they are deficit budgets, but they're very manageable deficits. And also keep in mind, you have a very strong fund balance percentage. I mean, when you look at your operational fund balance percentage, it's north of 80% projected at the end of this year. That's going to be 73% projected at the end of FY23. So I think all in all, the library is in pretty good fiscal shape. Obviously, you don't want to continue to run deficits in actuality in perpetuity, but I think based on the small deficit amount you have for FY23 and the large reserve that you have, I'm not too terribly concerned with this budget as it's currently presented.
So I noticed with FY25 that there's a significant increase in the deficit. What is the FY25? What is the increase on that one? It goes from, so in 24 it goes 16,435 and then it jumps up to 24,755 on the projection.
Well, I think what's helping you in 24 is the property taxes.
Okay.
And that additional 2%. Mm-hmm. Then it goes back down to 3% in FY25, so it kind of spikes a little bit. Plus, keep in mind, you still have people getting 3% COLAs, you have the minimum wage increasing, and of course, we have health insurance projected increase by 8% per annum. Hopefully, that doesn't happen. We like to be conservative, and just in case it does, you can be prepared for it.
Okay.
Just to give you a little sampling into what's going on with the health insurance, it initially came back at 13%, which is terrible. I'm the first to say that. Mm-hmm. But we were able to negotiate that down. Our broker was to about 6.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're bringing that before the administration this Wednesday. And hopefully council will make a decision on that at the March 22nd meeting. So we projected 8. Looks like 76.5. Not you know, not as good as we'd like, but at least it's under our projected amount. So.
Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Back on page 35.
Yeah.
Library fines. Mm-hmm. We voted to eliminate them for the most part.
Okay. I guess we need to adjust that line item then.
Right now you've got budgeted for $7,000 a year going forward. We're not, like I said, for the most part on books, we're not collecting library funds, correct?
You mean right now?
Right, well, yeah, starting
May 1st.
May 1st.
Right. So up until fiscal year starts, we're collecting fines, but after that we're not collecting fines. Other than fines on the computer equipment that we loan out.
You'll collect bills on damage and replacement, so there'll still be some income.
But I think to be realistic, maybe we should drop it down to like $1,000.
Yeah, that's what you think is appropriate.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't we just drop that down to $1,000?
Starting in May?
Starting, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, if we're not going to collect that much, there's no point in spending $7,000. We don't anticipate collecting that much.
No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I know.
So when does budget approval have to be? What is the
date? At the end of the fiscal year, so you can approve the budget next meeting if that's what you decide you'd like to do.
Okay. You agree?
We did.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. This way I'll get that one adjustment in there.
Right. Okay.
So do you want him to send me a new updated budget?
Yes.
For you to approve next meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Rob.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Fine free library.
I think Shelley has kind of presented to you the information about this, and I think you've got this information and people can ask questions, so I'm just here to answer any further questions that anyone might have regarding that. And I'll kind of walk you through essentially what will happen. Instead of our patrons being charged a fine that they have to then pay if it's over the threshold before they can use the library, when an item is 3 weeks overdue, they'll receive a bill for the full replacement cost. Now at that point, they can't use the library again until they've returned the item, but once they return it, then their fines are wiped and they can use it again. So one thing that would happen sometimes, somebody would have, say they checked out 100 children's books, and they were a week late with all of them. So then you've got that adding up to just a ton of money. They return the books, the fine is still so high, they can't afford to pay it, they can't come back, even though the material's back. So this kind of makes that a little bit more equitable for those that, you know, can't afford that fine, but still do want to come back. And then after 9 months, the item would be billed as lost, and at that point, then they can't return it to have it waived because it'll be removed or collection replaced if it's deemed appropriate.
So after 3 weeks, they'd be able to end
the full replacement cost. So there's a lot more motivation to get those items returned.
Mm-hmm. And then after 9 months, it's just...
Then we have to just pay for it because more than likely, if we're going to replace it, we've already spent the money to replace mm-hmm. stuff that we need.
How are you advertising?
On all of our normal locations.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to kind of be pushing that out at the front desk, and we'll be telling our patrons about it, and I will likely run a report and send it out to people that we can maybe get some of the patrons that are being held back from coming in, bringing their kids in, to come back in and come back into the library, renew their cards, and start using it again.
So the current ones that have current fines are going to be nullified then?
Correct.
Okay.
And I've spoken to a circulation manager. I've spoken to people at Prairie Cat, and they are seeing that we're getting more of the materials back instead of people being like, well, you know, I have a $100 fine. I'm just going to keep it. I can't afford to pay it, so I'm just going to keep the stuff. So that's been what they've seen. They've seen more public, you know, just goodwill in that. And it's been helpful, a good gesture towards the community, especially right now when people are pretty strained financially and just all over the place.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so then under new business, so then we need to adopt the fine-free library policy.
It's on page 39. We try to keep it simple and concise. Basically, we are doing away with the fines with the exception of our laptops and hotspots. So, because those are high-priced items, those will continue to accrue a $5 per day fine. And this lists the notice that you'll get. And it's also on the back of this, which is what we're going to be passing out to all of our patrons, just so they understand the notices that they'll be getting either by phone, by text, by email. So this will go into our circulation policy.
Paragraph 2, should that be only?
Yes, they changed that.
You did, okay.
Did.
Paragraph 2, where it says library, York Republic Library and the owing,
okay.
Should be owning.
Yeah. Do you have anything on here that says not, except for, you know, does not include laptops, hotspots, or things? Or,
oh, wait, no.
It's in the policy, but I didn't see it on here.
It's number 2 on this list.
Number,
no, this is the one that we're getting out.
It's on the questions and answers.
It's on the policy, yes. Right. I know, I was just wondering.
These two go together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. As I say, if this is on the website, say,
yep.
You know, do you say, does not include hotspots?
Yeah, well, I can do that.
Does not include technology.
Yeah, this is, okay. I'll add that. And can I go back to one thing Shelly mentioned? This is versus the fines versus replacements, because she had said that some board members had questions about some of the invoices that you see come through occasionally that you'll sign a check to replace the book at the library. And what that is when a patron of ours loses an item that belongs to another library, but they come in and they pay cash for it, which I can't send cash to the library, so then I have to do that accounts payable, the invoice. So that's essentially something the patron paid for that they damaged. That's not coming out of our money.
Okay. All right, then I will make a recommendation that we adopt the fine-free policy.
Okay, Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
And Reifsteck?
Yes.
Thank you.
So now we have COLA discussion for...
So this, I just want to, this was included in Rome's budget. Mm-hmm. This is the COLA increase beginning of the year for the full-time staff. I just want to get everybody on the same month, part-time and full-time. So we did a COLA increase for full-time staff back in July, and I'd just like to be able to administer that this May for our fiscal year. And so everybody's on the same schedule. It's just
easier.
Yeah. But it is included in the budget that you have in front of you for everyone.
You want to go over?
Yeah. Just put that on here just to let you know that.
Adopting a proposed budget, we're going to wait till next month. Our favorite, review of executive session minutes.
Those were such fun.
Executive session for thanks, Rob.
For sure. Thank you. Have a good executive session.
You too.
Take it easy.
Okay, so we'll need to go into executive session for the discussion of minutes of meetings lawfully closed under the Open Meetings Act, whether for purposes of approval by the body of the minutes or semi-annual review of the minutes as mandated by Section 2.06.
Second.
Okay. All right, this is roll call to go into executive session. Shimp?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
And Schumacher?
Yes.
Thank you.
We're out of executive session, and after reviewing the executive session minutes, we have decided to release the August 9th, 2021, September 8th, 2021, Policy Committee executive session minutes, the September 13th, 2021 executive session minutes, the January 31st, 2022, Personnel Committee meeting, executive session minutes, and then finally the February 14th, 2022, executive session minutes.
And I'll second.
Do we need a roll call on that one?
You got to get a regular name, probably do a roll call just because.
Yes, just a roll call.
Walter?
Yes.
Chacon?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstech?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
And Schimpf?
Yes.
And to be clear, we're keeping everyone intact. See it.
Yes.
Okay. So, under new business, we have recommendation of action on staffing. Per the Personnel Committee meeting that occurred prior to this, we are scheduling a new meeting to review this. And that's it. That's the end of the meeting. So we are adjourned.